Blog Talk Radio.
Veterans Day, and I have Dr. Mel Butler, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to read his bio. Before I do that, let me read a thought for the day. We always open up the show with thought for the day, and here's his thought for the day on Veterans Day, November the 11th. Living life triumphantly. I still have much more to achieve. If I had already achieved it all, I'd gone home and so. Clarice Reed, physician and sickle cell anemia researcher. In a previous meditation, we examined the components of failure. Let's take a look at the qualities that make up triumph. T, teachable, truthfulness, thankfulness. R, responsibility, respect, resourcefulness. I, integrity, imagination, ideals. U, understanding, usefulness, uplift. M, motivation. Mind, morality. P, passion. Perseverance, patience. H, hope, happiness, and harmony. Just knowing the qualities that comprise triumph is sufficient. We must use them. What we want. Benjamin O. Davis, the first African-American promoted to the rank of general in the armed forces, is to return to our families triumphantly. Feminine heart surgeon Daniel Hale Williams told a group of struggling interns, "The triumph life belongs to the individual who narrows the gap between what he is and what he appears to be and what he longs to be. When it comes to living life triumphantly, a spark of an idea can cause an explosion of possibilities. To fan the flames, we need to be enthusiastically supportive of our dreams, no matter how crazy or far-fetched they seem. Triumph of life occurs when we pursue worthy goals and ideals. The only way that we can triumph is through the successful realization of our goals. I understand what it takes to be triumphant. I can see that success is possible for me." Now let me introduce our guest that we have today, Dr. Mel Butler, who is definitely no stranger to the show. And bring up his bio here. Dr. Mel Butler is a trailblazing civil rights pioneer, a native of Baltimore, Maryland, one of 12 children. His accomplishments include Morgan State University graduate, BS in marketing, dual MBA simultaneously in marketing and management. Over 50 years of marketing innovation with his work at First Technology Commercialization Center, which includes the elevation of the Hummer and Hot Pockets, and the Bad News all-purpose sauce that changed the landscape of barbecue sauce recipes across the United States. Dr. Butler is a certified master consultant in the evaluation and marketing of diamonds. Participated in talent consulting for Disney, Ford Motor Company, and United Airlines, as well as a consultant and contractor, Small Business Administration, MBDA, and Commerce Department. Dr. Butler, a champion for the cause of youth empowerment, continues to work nonprofits to benefit youth in areas of training, internship development. He also partners with organizations such as Faces Going Places 501c3, Alliance for Career and Education LLC, the Harlem Wizards, and the Harlem Globetrotters, and Universal Soul Service. Along with his passion for golf, Dr. Butler continues to utilize his enormous leadership by creating job training and representing retail, food, and beverage, and sports entertainment interests through his work at Maker to Markets. Dr. Butler is a vital force to the next generation of leaders with his Faces Going Places radio show on WLOB in Baltimore, and by spearheading scholarship opportunities for university students. All right. Good afternoon, Dr. Butler. You there?
I am here, Jahi. I thought you were talking about somebody else. But that's all good. And I guess I have to accept it because people put it out there, and it is. But, you know, I'm excited about being on this show and working with you over the past few weeks. We got a great partnership going on. And I'm hoping that all the listeners out there, the ones that listen to this show, can really listen. You know, sometimes people are listening, but they don't really hear what you say. And I think the fact that you are doing this sort of like in-home marketing 101, so they really have you as a professor at no charge. Usually people like you, they charge a lot of money, but they have an opportunity. You know, we got a lot of people out there. I've received a lot of calls in the last 2 weeks, and people sometimes they're down, Or sometimes they say, well, they don't know what the day is going to be like. You know, you say the question, how are you doing? And you give a good motivation when you start your shows. And I was thinking, at one time they'd asked me to be a motivational speaker and work with some of those guys like Les Brown and some of the guys that are out there. And I realized that who motivates the motivator? And when you think about that, if you're in a small business working out of your home, you have to accept that you don't really have a motivator. So you have to motivate yourself by listening to people as you do, Jahi, as I did. But it reminds me of something I heard Vince Lombardi, who was a great football coach to some of the younger people that's on the, you know, on the call. Vince Lombardi would do two things. I went out to visit his camp when I was way back trying to learn how to do this business. And he would always tell the players, no matter whether they were Heisman Trophy winners, no matter whether they broke records at the high schools that they, or colleges that they came from, he always would stand in front of the room. And all of those people, he would say, this is a football. This is your life in the future. Get to know it. And I said, now, I wonder, why is he saying that to all these guys that are number one draft picks that broke records in the college time? And afterwards, after he finished the session, I asked him, Mr. Lombardi, what do you mean when you say that? And you hold a football up. Of course they know what a football is. He said, yeah. And I don't want them to ever forget that that's how they eat. And I wrote down some things that he told me. But one of the things I remember, he said, winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all-time thing. You don't go and strive to win just one time. Don't win all the time. You don't do things right one time. You try to do things right all the time. So his point was, winning is a habit. Unfortunately, so is losing. And I say that because as self-motivated people working out of the home and doing sort of what we call 101, the advice that they pick up on a show like this, when they had people like you, Jahi, and numbers, marketing, accounting people, is a must. If you don't have a good accounting person, then your business is going to suffer a lot of turns. I invited one of my friends, one of my best clients, to be on this call today because hopefully she'll call in. I want her to just share some of the things that that she has endured. And, you know, people say they have it hard. We all have it hard. People wake up sometimes. I never wake up, no matter what happens. I never wake up feeling sorry or being sad. I just don't do it. I don't ever remember being sad, because if you're in control of your own body, you can be happy every day, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. So to the entrepreneur, the independent person out there that's been working, of course, sometimes you get some situations. I call them bumps in the road. But you know what you can do with a bump in the road? You just go over it. And now, the way the world is and the way things are now, independent persons, entrepreneurs, people who work out of their homes, they have to sometimes learn some things if they never worked out of the home or in a business before. They got to be observant. You have to look at things and not be afraid of taking something that's good from somebody else and using it. They say imitation is the best form of flattery. I believe that 100%. But to those people on the call today, one, it's been a pleasure for me to be on these calls because I learned something too. Every time I talk to somebody, I try to see if there's a nugget I can take away. But as a person working on your home, as a person who wants to be an entrepreneur, and we must always remember, entrepreneur means just a person who is willing to take risks. If you know that you don't want to take any risks, then you shouldn't go into business. If you know that every time something negative comes your way, it pulls you down for about a week, you stay sad because they stay sad, You see, you got to motivate yourself. If you don't, then you're going to go across a whole bunch of bumps, and behind some of those bumps, there will be big old cliffs and valleys. So today, I'm hoping that the listeners on this call will call you. They can even call you if they want to be in a special program. But my point is, you have a diamond in the rough being a part of a show like this, because you're free to ask any question that you want, where most professionals would charge you about $500 an hour to get the same information. So I just wanted to open and start with that, and hopefully we'll get some calls. If we do, let me know so we can include them in this conversation.
We have a call about the button.
All right, let's go to our caller right away.
All right.
Caller, you're on
call
the air.
Caller 240-401-2016. You're on the air with Dr. Butler and Tawa Jai. So you have a question or comment?
Hi, yourself. This is one of those type people that I'm talking about. Always ready to go, always trying to help everybody else. And she probably won't tell you all the things. This is Miss Andrea Reed. Reed spelled R-E-I-D. I was never good at spelling, so I was spelling it wrong for about a year, but I finally think I got it right. But Miss Reed, you have a book, and the title of your book is, what is it?
Treasured by God.
Treasured by God.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. One, the cover of that book is just fantastic. I hope folks will get it. But also, I thought about it because I read the book before, but I missed a couple of points. One was that you developed a relationship, or you had a relationship with God probably before you even knew what a relationship was. I think
true.
You said four years old, something like that.
I was 4 years old, yes.
Okay, I thought it was 4 years old, and the fact that that was your destiny, but you probably didn't know what it was. And
no,
the fact, the way that you wrote your book, and it's written giving people an idea of how those relationships or your relationship developed. And I know that you are out of Howard University. I don't hold that against you.
Okay.
But I also know that you're very, very good with what you do. And I was hoping that myself and Jahi could kind of get a little interview from you and see how you got to where you are, some of the different things that you're doing. I know you're doing a lot of different things with other groups, and you're definitely a leader. And I wanted people
Thank
to know
you.
That I'm just proud. And when I saw the book, it's almost a year now, and I just looked, I said, you know, that takes a smart person to put themselves and humble themselves and always keep God in the picture. And your book certainly shows that you keep God in the picture. And if a person really read it two or three times, then they would know that your life is guided by God.
Yeah.
A lot of us have that opportunity. I'm sorry?
Yeah. It's very much so guided by God.
How did you get started?
4 years old, I recognized at an early age that, you know, my biological father was not going to be consistent in my life. And so I asked God to be my father. And I didn't realize what I was doing in that moment as a four-year-old. But, you know, as I got older, I realized that that's exactly who he's been. He's been my father, taking care of me all my life. So, yes, my relationship with God is probably the most important relationship that I have.
And your family lineage goes back beyond the United States. And
We're from Jamaica. My whole family is from the Caribbean, from Jamaica.
Okay. Bob Marley group, huh?
Yep.
and Usain Bolt.
Yep. greatness yep. comes out of Jamaica as well. Yes.
Yep, yep. You got a couple other ones in there too. I think is a you got a lot of bunch of track people. Track people out there.
You got
there.
A lot of sports people, a lot of track winners. Yeah.
Okay, when you were 4 years old, you were very young. So how did you, over the years, how did you come to be so close to God? Was your family a church-going person? Because at 4 years old, you had a whole bunch of years until you started doing some things in college and stuff like that. Take us on a little trip and I'd like to hear how people got started and some of the obstacles they overcame. Because somebody is listening to the show, and I'm pretty sure when you give your story, that it should affect someone. And this is how we learn. We learn from other people. So can you give us time to take your time, just run through it. From 4 years old, did they put you in a basket when you turned five? What happened?
Well, I detail all of it in my book, Treasured by God, how, you know, at 4 years old, I started talking to God and always wondered what it was like to live in America because my grandmother lived there. And so I would be on our veranda, which is a porch, and look out and see as far as the trees, you know, were out and it seemed like it was hitting the skyline. And I used to think to myself, is America on the other side? And so eventually I ended up in America when my mom left Jamaica and then was able to get us over to the United States with my grandmother. And our household, we always read the Bible. We always went to church. And so it's always been a part of my life. But I didn't pay attention as, let's say, a teenager. You know, I would read my Bible, pray about my classes, getting good grades because that was important to me. And little things would happen. I started having visions and dreams as a teenager, but didn't pay attention to it, if you will. And so, you know, I would take an exam, for example, and I would see a vision of the answer on the page in front of me. So I would see the answer from doing homework. So it's like God would just show me the answer, like, hey, I'm going to give you the answer real quick. So I would have experiences like that. And then I had a dream, a major dream where someone in church, I was probably about 16 years old, when one of the preacher's mother, she lived off of oxygen. So when you saw her in church, she always had her oxygen tank with her. She was carrying it and everything, and she had the hoses up to her, in her nostrils and behind her ears and all of that. And I had a dream that she was walking around with that oxygen tank, and in one moment, and then in the next moment, she was praising God without the oxygen tank, like she was surviving on her own without the oxygen tank. And the next scene I saw was her laying in a casket. So it actually played out. Like one Sunday she was in church and she wasn't wearing her oxygen tank. And like probably a week or two later, it was announced that she passed away. So it blew my mind because I was like, oh, my God. Like, had I known, I would have said something like, no, she needs to always be on her oxygen. You know, she should always have her oxygen tank with her. But that was a dream that happened, and I moved on with my life, and that was that. And I continued having dreams, you know, all into college, and, you know, God's hand was on me even in college with just relationships that were forged to help me get through the financial aid process at Howard University. Each semester, you know, having to work to support myself and to have enough money to pay for my education. He put angels around me, even on that campus, to make sure that I graduated and that, you know, I could pay for my courses. So that's a part of the journey, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
God has always had his hand on my life. But I developed a closer relationship, I guess, years later when I just started to have more experiences with him showing me. Were you asking
now,
a question?
That's for the listeners so they can know that people could come from all walks of life, have all sorts of experience. Entrepreneurs is a hybrid of almost everything that you can think of. And, of course, most people don't realize by the time you're 4 years old, you normally have demonstrated some of the things that you would need for your life once you select a career. But yours, until I met you, I had never met a person that has the kind of background or does the kind of work that you do, and probably most people on this phone, on this call, don't know either. How did you develop a desire to want to be, and you can tell them what your title is and what it means, to be the type of person that you're professionally listed as something that I feel as a consultant. No person, no leader really should go through life without meeting a person like you. Because if they want to tell the story, and I've been asked to tell my story probably by at least 100 people,
mm-hmm.
and for some reason I never was able to do it because, one, I had a stigma and I had a phobia against learning. I didn't think I was capable of learning. So I didn't know what I wanted to be, so I tried a lot of things. But I want you to tell people the professional name and what it means, because out of the whole group of people that I know now all around the country, you are the first one that I have met that had the professional title, and I know you got more than that you do. But tell them what it is, because if we can give them the tools or the resources that maybe they never thought about before, that it might help somebody.
Okay.
So you're a professional.
Well,
tell them your professional title and what it means.
I am a, I hope this is what you're talking about in terms of like me being a proofreader editor.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing.
Yes, I am a proofreader editor. I became that professionally in like 2014. I established my business in 2019, Proofreading Inc., where we edit books a lot for faith-based individuals, authors, where a lot of them share their memoirs, autobiographies. I've edited a children's book on finances, just a slew of books. I got into editing from my job. My background is in marketing, and a lot of times my jobs entailed proofreading all of our marketing materials. And doing that role, I developed a passion for reviewing documents. And so it is something that I enjoy doing. Most folks think I'm crazy for saying it relaxes me. But it's like I've always had a thing with words and the English language. And so for me, I take pleasure in reviewing books and documents and transforming documents for clients. So, yes,
the
name of my business.
And I know,
proofreading.
I'm sorry, mm-hmm. and I know you are with some other groups from an educational point. Can you tell us about that too? And I understand that you're going to be up for an award for your book, but why don't you tell them who else you work with? Because I know you work with a group and they look for minorities probably in HBCU schools to give some scholarships to. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I am the chairperson for the Ruth Mullen Memorial Scholarship Program through the Editorial Freelancers Association, where I am a member. I'm actually one of the board members and very active within that organization. So as chairperson for the scholarship committee, we are offering scholarships in the amount of $5,000 to HBCU students who are attending or have graduated from an HBCU and going on to further their education at the graduate level. So our goal this year, we've given out, this is our second year doing it. The first year we gave away two scholarships, one at the undergrad and the other at the graduate level. This year we were able to give away three scholarships, two at the undergraduate level and one at the graduate level. So our goal is to be able to give as many scholarships as we can to HBCU students. Right now, North Carolina A&T seems to be the school that's getting most of the scholarships because we've had two recipients each year to get a scholarship from us. And this year, I'm happy to announce that we have we're giving a scholarship to someone who attends Howard University, my alma mater, as well. So
Great! Congratulations!
Yeah,
congratulations.
Love to do it. Yeah.
Well, I know that there are persons on the phone that might have young people or relatives at some of these HBCUs, and of course, one of the things that our goal is to get our folks from and our culture used to taking advantage of some things that we never had before. And I think talk shows or things like this, you can always pick up some information that you didn't know. And I don't think most people know that there's a movement to revive and even put life into a lot of the HBCUs. There are different programs. And this way people can pass it on to their relatives or to their friends. Every time you get somebody that's unique, they need to take your information down and then let the family know that they met somebody that can help them. And if you're a business person and you're tracking your successes, you're the kind of person that they should get in touch with to maybe help them write a book. I know until you came along, everybody tried to get me to write a book, but you're the only person that got me in a position where at least I'm harnessing the information so that I can have a book, you know, that somebody else can benefit from and not just me. That's all a part of it. Yeah.
Yes, I am about helping first-time authors, existing authors, to develop their books. My clients they're all happy with the work that's been done. So I'm happy to help anyone who has a book and wants to get it published. I'm happy to help in any way possible. I do want to stress the scholarship. It is for students who have a desire to tell a story, tell their stories, or if they're storytellers, if they want to become authors or writers, anything that could lead to the publishing arena, they are the students that we're looking for. They need to be interested in a career that could lead to publishing. So if you're someone who may be
communication major,
communications major, English major,
journalism, right,
along those lines, then you are definitely qualified to try out for it.
Now, your book can be found in all. Oh, I know before that question, I had another question. A lot of people call me and they want to know about whether they should self-publish or get a publisher. You know, did you have a publisher or did you self-publish your book or what?
I self-published mine. You really have to do the homework when it comes down to whether you want to self-publish or go the traditional route. It's up to the individual. I think about the time that I was doing my book or writing the book, the self-publishing route seemed the best for me, and so that's why I chose that option. I'm actually planning a session, a Zoom session, to have a professor, a scholar. He's like just a genius type guy, the chancellor of universities. He's also an author, and he wants to speak on the topic of self-publishing versus the traditional route, which he's experienced both. So I do plan on having like a little seminar on that in the upcoming year where he can speak to that for anyone who wants to tune in to listen to that. I'll be publicizing it on my social media platforms.
Is he a minority?
Yeah.
He is? Because one of the groups, I'm sorry, I was going to say one of the groups we're working with, we're going to be doing something a little different during the whole month of February. We're going to be having authors highlighting. We're going to highlight all of the black authors or minority authors that we can find. And some of them are going to take their books and make it into a play where the community can come in and be part of the actors and part of the interview boards and things of that nature. And I believe that's going to happen. Well, I know it's going to happen in February, but I think we'll start looking for the people the first part of December. Right. Speaking of that, your book, I believe, is up for some special kind of award that we might be able to help you out in. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so there's an organization. I'm terrible with this, but they gave me a 5-star review on my book, and I was blown away. Thank you so much. I was blown away by it. A gentleman runs it. I'm actually trying to pull it up now. I feel horrible. But my book was selected or it's eligible for Book of the Year. So this is through the online bookclub.org organization.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they just picked up a copy of my book and reviewed it. And again, the review brought tears to my eyes. Honestly, I was like, wow. So, mm-hmm. My book is up for, it's eligible for Book of the Year under their platform.
Usually, don't you have to vote for things like that? Don't people have to vote for that or stuff like that?
Yes.
I mean, what can we do? How can we help you make this happen?
Okay,
since it doesn't cost anything.
No, it doesn't cost anything. It's on onlinebookclub.org
mm-hmm.
webpage, and they should have the option for you to actually vote for your book or for my book, not your book, my book.
So can you give us that information? How would we do if we were to support you in that way? What does our listeners need to know? I mean, do they need to go get a pen?
No, it's because the link that they gave is so long. It's so extensive. I'm trying to see if they were to go to my LinkedIn page, Andrea L. Reed, on LinkedIn or Facebook, then there is, I have it listed out where they can simply click on the link and it
mm-hmm.
will take them directly there. So it's a very extensive, I apologize, it's a very extensive link.
Well, maybe you can come back on another time, like next week or something, and maybe find out the best way for them to do, to be able to vote for it. Because we handle probably at least 10 different minority authors, and I'm always impressed by you guys when you do something. And one thing that I think we have to do as leaders is kind of make sure we get the communication out there. You know, a lot of people are using digital, but to us, to our culture, we have always been very effective in telling one another, you know, on the telephone
mm-hmm.
and getting it out there. Because we can make a movie number one, a record number one, just by somebody appearing on some show and talking. And if we like it, there's no newspaper, there's no form of communication to meet us faster than us.
Right, that's very true.
Yep. We set trends, we set patterns. We help the designers, all the things that we do, even if the people on this call today think about it. When rap first came out 50 years ago, it was seen by media people and a lot of the majority organizations. They hated to hear even the word rap. and they demonized rap because the big companies couldn't get that money. And other people didn't know what it meant. It was another means of us communicating with one another, and they didn't pick up on it. But now, if anyone that's on this phone, if you watch TV or you see anything, the old songs that certain people, the general population, wouldn't listen to, but now almost every third commercial, the theme song or the music in the background are songs that at one time they didn't want white people to even listen to.
That's true.
So, yep, those songs that did not get paid royalties and that we listened to, some of the best songs from the 60s and 70s and 80s, I hear them advertising everything from land to mega church, from heat to space. I hear songs that were probably put out on the shelf, which means that they were listening to them all the time.
Mm-hmm. True.
Even even people like Archie Bell and his greatest hits. A lot of people in Baltimore that reinvented the line dances that are so popular now. That was done by a group of dancers out of Baltimore, Maryland, and Archie Bell and the Drell. If you look at his greatest hits, that is one of the songs, Soul City Walking. And that industry of people doing line dances, it's grown to an international type of thing. So people on the line or people that have businesses, they may be destined for hero things, fantastic recognition type things, but because we don't talk to people about them enough, then many times our greatest people get left in the dust.
Yes. Very true.
Do you want to ask Ms. Reed some questions? We don't want to leave you out of this.
No, I'm just enjoying y'all conversation, and we do have another caller on the line, though.
Okay, well, Andrew, if you can stay on, maybe we can get a chance to get back to you. Well, caller, you're on the air. Let's let them go.
Yes, good afternoon, David. Yes, good afternoon, David Murphy from the National Black Unity News. How are you?
Hey, David.
Yes, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing just great, sir. Now that you're on the phone, everything's going to be all right.
Okay. Yes, I just chimed in about 15 minutes ago, and I was very intrigued by the young lady who just preceded me because she's kind of in my industry when it comes to editing, publishing. And I just want to say kudos to her, you know, because that's a powerful industry to be in, and it's also even better when you can reach out and help someone else. So I just want to send kudos to her. And you all for having this podcast or this broadcast.
Mm-hmm. Well, they I hope they know that your paper is online and that they can do it. But we definitely want to hopefully build a network of people that show from their actions that they're interested in the community and, you know, by the works that they do. Because most of what's happening in the world today is generated by money or fueled by money. And the people that we tend to try to work with and people that I like to work with are people that you can know and recognize that they've been working with the community because they didn't just start, like your newspaper. And those are the kind of things I think we need to take time. And it's going to take time. It takes an investment of time to do what we're attempting to do. That is to get us to know and love one another for what we do.
I was just going to tell you that, you know, we have truly been blessed because, you know, our whole premise is about being a blessing to the community. That's why the National Black Unity News was created in the first place. It was created for us to uplift us. Now, we don't put down any group or other race of people, but there is a discrepancy or disparity between the races. Pretty much everybody take care of their own. All we're trying to do is equal the playing field.
Mm-hmm.
I won't go beyond that. But I just want to make an announcement that you know, the National Black Unity News, just in its title alone, say national, and we are national and beyond, you know, we are throughout the diaspora. But we are currently in the process. I just want to make this announcement that there will be a Virginia Black Unity News, a Texas Black Unity News.
Congratulations.
And also, we're talking to people in California, South Carolina, and I just want to, you know, because you know so many people and somebody may be on here, the way this work is this. We have what you call a collaboration. Then, you know, you can go online, see KeyNBUN.com. But if you're in a state and you want to help a multitude of people, especially black people, melanated people, we have a fantastic program that is so unique and it's different. As you already know, Doctor, but we are not traditional by any sense of the word.
That's right. That's right.
But like I said, our mission, we are mission driven. And when you give, you will receive. So I'm just so proud, and I can't take credit for this because, as I said before, this is by divine inspiration, and I just happen to be obedient to that call. And so many people are involved with this publication, including Dr. Butler, as well as your other host, Brother Satari Jahi, and who's been with me for a long time. Him and I, you know, we go back a long way. But again, I just want to thank you, brothers, and those who've been on your call for this opportunity, because media is a powerful tool. And I always like to tell people that even though it's powerful, but in this country, we own, if you clump us all together, media, authors, and TV, radio, you lump us all together, we own less than 1% of the media in this country. And so we need all the voices we can get, word of mouth, authors, newspapers, podcasting. We need to shout, you know, make some noise, because our voices are important, extremely important. And we must learn to teach one another, to uplift one another, because nobody's coming back to do what's worth but God, and God works through his people. And so, again, I just want to thank you for having this podcast, because this is a voice. Thank you, brothers.
Well, we appreciate it. And how can people – well, one of the things I think that we all can do that would help the National Black Unity newspaper and anything that it does, we need to tell, if you're working for somebody or you're working in somebody's office, then you need to make sure that in some way they find out how they can subscribe so a copy of that paper can come to people, even the small business. If you got 3 employees, you still need to have that kind of communication, because it helps keep you united with the world. Things that come out in the Black National Unity newspaper are things that you're not going to see in any other medium. At one time, me as a consultant, I was a member of the National Press Association out of Washington, D.C. And I did not know before I joined them that anything that happens in the world, anything, goes through them either direct or by somebody referring them to them. Every news organization on the planet, if they do anything in America, they are listed or they're members of the National Press Club, just a couple blocks from the White House in Washington, D.C. So all the new entrepreneurs out there that are still finding your way, and if you want to grow your business, you really need to focus on learning the new things that are out there. And communication is one of the biggest and best things that we have going for us. We don't have to go back, as some people want us to do, to the cave. Mr. Murphy and his group do an excellent job. We need to be behind them all the way. And anybody else that you hear on here, that's why I applaud Jahi, because he's letting the people come on and plead their case. Like you just told us, if you hadn't told us, we would not have known. When I say we, I'm talking those people that don't follow it. But it's a thing. One, it's history. When you go to blackunitynews.com, you better have your fingers ready to go for a whole bunch of stuff. Because Mr. Murphy got so many things on there. I said, wow, I thought I knew a little bit about websites, but he is a master. They use that website, and you need to look at it. And if you're a small business, a minority business, you just need to wake up and start using other people. As the saying goes, no man or woman now is an island. So we need one another, and we have to take advantage of that. Okay, Ms. Reed, did you give a contact information? Do you want them to know anything else? I can't see a clock, but I imagine we've been used a lot of time.
In terms of locating me, I have an author page on Instagram that is Andrea L. Reed _ author, or just a Google search, you should be able to find me. In terms of my company, you can access my website. That is www.proofreadinginc.com. Proofreading is has my last name in it, so it's not how you would normally spell proofreading. So it's P-R-O-O-F, as in Frank, R-E-I-D-I-N-G-I-N-C.com. So you can check out my website, and if you need my services, absolutely please reach out. I would love to assist you in any way that I can.
Well, I think every minority business owner needs to have a book of some sort. When I go into the libraries and I look at all those thousands and thousands of books that are in there, but when you go to a section or you try to find out where our people are, where our authors are, everybody needs it. Like Mr. Murphy, if I could write, I would write a book on how they came about with the Black Unity and how they have managed in this short period of time to be one of the top communication pieces out there. So, folks, a lot of times, if you don't go to the library, you know, or you're not an avid reader and belong to Oprah's book club, then you need to, anybody that comes on this call. We're trying to build, as Mr. Murphy said, we all have been trying to do a collaboration. In almost every state, the problem that we have right here in Maryland or in D.C. or in Virginia, every culturally deprived group has the same issues that they're dealing with. So when we get on one accord and everybody starts feeding into everybody, don't worry about how big somebody's going to get. You just make sure that you have a contribution that could be used by the society. And I think every week we're going to try to identify one of these authors and people that have the book, and we're definitely going to have an event before the end of the year where we're going to invite all the people that are Black, representing the Black communication and communication for around the world. And we're going to invite them into an event that we're going to sponsor. My company will be one of the sponsors, but we'll have every author that we can find, minority author, all over this country and some out of the country, and just talking to the community and talking to people. But my kudos to you guys that are writing. And, Jahi, I don't know where the time has gone, but I think my body says it's probably been almost an hour.
We got about 8 minutes left, and I'll be giving you a call, Miss Andrea, because
Miss Reed,
I know there's a book in me, and I need to get it out of me.
Okay, well, I'm happy to help with that. I just wanted to thank Mr. Murphy for his kind words earlier.
And we need to definitely have a book to be done on his accomplishments and what he's been endeavoring to do all these years, because he is not a spring chicken in the business. He knows the business. And we just have to, I encourage people, don't come on just one time. Come on and let us know how you're doing. The young lady I talked to from New York last time we talked, was her first name Cynthia Jahi?
No, Victoria. Victoria Paul.
Victoria, okay. All right, I had the last part right. But that lady, we encourage her to let us know, because you're sometimes out there on an island. And to call in from these different states, where are you located, Ms. Reed?
I'm actually located now in Connecticut.
Okay, you're in Connecticut. That lady is from New York. Mr. Murphy is down in Virginia. Jahi is down in Rocky Mount. I don't know who else is on this phone, but if you went down, and this is what you got to do with your mind, sometimes think of it. Don't just hear the person and forget about it, because you may be visiting that area sometime, and they may have you come in for something that could benefit you or your company. We have to just think about that, folks, and let people know that we are forced to be reckoned with in terms of helping one another.
Because yeah, right, Mr. Bunn, I'm still on the line here. Is it possible, Ms. Reed, that I can get in contact with you? You know, is it a phone number, something that can, so somebody can reach out to you, or do you have to do
yes.
it through your website?
No, she can give it to you on the phone right now.
Yes. So my, you can call me on 301-834-2728. That's my business line.
Want to give that to him again, please?
It's 301-834-2728.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Yes. And I just want to put a plug. My book is currently on Amazon right now for $15.99. So it's a quick and easy read. I love it. It's inspiring, and I encourage everyone to read it. You'll enjoy it.
Well, we want to thank you for taking the time and letting us in on what you do. And I hope that all the callers, as long as I'm going to come on this program, and I'll do it until I feel there's no more need for it, but you ought to tell your friends. You ought to have it. So this line, Jahi's line, should be lit up from the time he opens his mouth until the end of the show. And that's how we can tell that we're growing. Most people, they don't really want to talk. But if you took on the task and challenge of being a business person, you have no choice. You need to talk. Yeah. You have to talk. It's an obligation of a leader to talk. Because the younger generation, every time I meet somebody, they say, well, wow, I never knew that history. How do we get in touch with you guys? So they're lost out there without us communicating and sharing that word in your conversation. Every time you end the conversation, you need to tell people, hey, have you heard about the National Black Unity newspaper? If they don't, take 2 minutes and explain to them. Our safe reentry program, it takes a back seat, but starting next time we're on, we're going to let people know how they can become a part of that because it might just save your life. Jahi, that's all. I'm finished. I'm proud to have been on here today. I think it was great information. And so why don't you take us on out of here?
Thank you for the opportunity,
Dr. Butler. Yep.
Thank you for being on.
You're welcome.
Yes, we come to the end of another broadcast. You can go to my website if you want more information about taxes at www.thetaxhelper.com. helper.wibbly.com. There you can get information about home-based business taxes and all that you need to do to get more back on your money, especially read the testimonial section. Because on the testimonial section on my page, I let people give their testimonies about how much they got back. People who didn't have a home-based business or did have a home-based business, tried to write it off, but went to the wrong preparer, and it didn't work out well for them. That's all I'm going to say about that. So, again, I want to thank our two callers for being on, and we want to thank Dr. Butler for taking his time to be on here today, especially coming out of surgery. He has some work here to get done, and glad he's still alive. What is in the land of the living? We come in and see God. All I can say about that. So we want to thank everybody that tuned in, and I'm gonna close out with our theme song. My time, your time. So do what you need to do to make it your time.
Thank you again, sir.
Up to what I want to be.
Next week, same time, same station. Until next week, goodbye.
Mm-hmm.